The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's 2 p.m. I will call the meeting to order. This is the meeting of the August 5th, 2021 hearings officer for the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency. My name is Andrew Strain, and I will be serving as the hearings officer today. Item two is the approval of our agenda. I'll ask the staff if we have any changes to today's agenda. Hearing none, I will approve the agenda as it has been presented and noticed. Item three on today's agenda are the public interest comments for no action. Any member of the public who wishes to address the hearings officer on any agenda item that's not listed as an announcement of appeal rights or as a public hearing item, or on any other issue, may do so at this time. However, public comments on the announcement of appeal rights or public hearing items will be taken at the time those agenda items are heard. Please note that the hearings officer is prohibited by law from taking immediate action on or discussing issues raised by the public that are not listed on this agenda. Georgina, will you please look for a show of hands to see if anyone present today wishes to address the hearings officer on non-agenda or non-appeal rights items?
Yes, members of the public who would like to address the hearings officer may do so at this time by utilizing the hand-raising feature of the GoToWebinar app. The hand icon is located on the tab to the left of the GoToWebinar control panel. If you'd like to comment, please raise your hand and I will announce and unmute you, and you'll have 3 minutes to make your comments. And no hands were raised, so we can continue with the review of the agenda.
Thank you. Item four on our agenda is the announcement of appeal rights. I want to let everyone know today that any decision of the hearings officer is appealable to the TRPA Governing Board within 21 days of the hearings officer decision. The application fee and appeal application can be found at the TRPA website. Item five are the public hearing items for today. We have three. We'll begin with item 5A, the Jacobsma Land Capability Challenge, located at 686 Tehama Drive, El Dorado County, California. The assessor's parcel number is 033-832-003. The TRPA file number is LCAP 2021-0061. Julie Roll, I believe this is your item. Can you please give us a brief introduction?
Yes, no problem. Hi, Andrew. This is Julie Roll. So we have this land capability challenge was reviewed on behalf of TRPA by our soils consultant, Phil Scholes, and he's on the line today, so he can give you some additional comments shortly and also answer any questions. And just to let you know, there have not been any changes to the staff report as it was posted, and I've not received any public comment regarding this item.
Very good. And our proposed action is to reclassify a parcel 10,360 feet or 10,375 feet, depending on which source we use, from class three to class six. Phil, can you give us a brief summary of your findings and what this land capability challenge is proposing?
Yes, this is Phil Scholes. I am the TRPA contractor that oversaw this land capability challenge, which consisted of a single pit that was dug in the front yard of the property owner's house. And when the pit was dug down to about 5 feet, and we evaluated the various layers in the soil, and what we found was that the upper part, pretty much the upper half of the soil, was soil materials that had eroded from the landscape that exists upgrading of it. And that's sort of natural kind of erosion that happens over thousands and thousands of years. And the underlying layer was a glacial till material. So they're somewhat related, but they're also sort of different processes of how they got there. And so what we found was that the soil types didn't match any of the soils that are in that general vicinity. What's currently mapped there is something that is considered to be a class three soil. And that class three designation comes from both the slope of the landscape and also from layers deeper in the soil that have restrictions that either cause the roots not to go deep or to perch water or both. And the field investigation found that there wasn't any restricting layers in the soil and that we could see that there were roots all the way going down to the very bottom of the pit that was dug there. So it, because it didn't match the soil type that's right there or some of the nearby soil types, it falls in the category of being an unnamed soil. And in TRPA's realm, those are called a triple X soil. And that's what was designated for this one. So it was considered to have no restrictions and have a landscape or slope that was less than 16% and therefore qualified for class six. This mapping is somewhat consistent with the new soil survey. The new soil survey would have called it a class five. This calls it a class six because it has no limitations. But that's, and it's really just showing that sort of the modern mapping is giving it a higher capability than what was there as mapped condition from 1974.
Thank you, Phil. And what do we have for slopes across this parcel?
I have to pull up a map in front of me. I think we've generally got about 8 to 11 or 12% slopes across the property. It's mostly the flatter slope and only in that southwest corner where we're getting sort of 11% slope. So I stand corrected. It looks like it's 6% for the majority of the property and 11% sort of in the southwest corner.
And that fits within your determination of the XXX soil, unlike the previously mapped Jabu soil series?
That's correct. When a soil is designated that it doesn't match one of the soil types that's in the 1974 soil survey, then we go to something called Table 4 in the Land Capability Report, known as the Bailey System, and it has slightly different slope classes than the designations in the soil survey. In this case, a class 6 is something that it has unrestricted drainage and 0 to 16% slope.
Thank you, Phil. That's very helpful. Do we have anyone representing the applicant on the line at today's meeting? Doesn't sound like we do. I was going to give them my compliments for a pretty healthy looking test pit.
Yeah, they hand dug the pit themselves.
looks like it was many feet down given the length of that aluminum ladder that's sticking out of the top of the pit. Okay, since this is a public hearing item, I will open the public hearing. And if anyone is interested in providing input or testimony, Georgina will look for a show of hands.
Members of the public who would like to address the hearings officer may do so at this time by utilizing the hand-raising feature of the GoToWebinar app. The hand icon is located on the tab to the left of the GoToWebinar control panel. If you'd like to comment, please raise your hand and I will announce and unmute you, and you'll have 3 minutes to make your comments. And no hands were raised, so we can continue with the review of this agenda item.
Thank you, Georgina. Seeing that we have no public input on item 5A, I will close the public hearing and take action on the project. Based on the information contained in the staff report, including the results of the findings and the conclusions reached by our independent third-party soil investigation of the contractor, Phil Scholes, I will approve the Jacobs Milan Capability Challenge, reclassifying the entire parcel from a Class 3 to a Class 6, as is presented and recommended by the staff. Let's move on to item 5B, the Bowl Incline Commercial Modification and Expansion Project, located in Washoe County. The assessor's parcel number is 132-232-08, and the TRPA file number is ERSP-2021-0217. Teresa Avance, I believe this is your item to at least get us started.
Good afternoon, Teresa Avance, Senior Planner. I am shepherding this project to hearings officer today. This was a project that was reviewed outsourced by Lynn Barnett at WBA and Associates. A brief rundown of the project is this is an existing commercial business in Incline Village, a bowling alley, and they have proposed some modifications and expansions for their business, including exterior activities, a bocce ball court, a climbing wall, additional outdoor dining and bar service, and improvements to the interior of the building as well, in a nutshell. And where do you want me to go from that brief?
Teresa, can you give us a brief summary of the permit itself and whether or not there are any changes or modifications that you're proposing to make at this time?
All right. The permit is on page 14 of that staff report, and there are a couple of changes, modifications to the conditions. The first modification is to special condition number one, which the original language in that, the last sentence of that condition was that all outdoor activities shall cease at 10 p.m. to limit potential noise issues. We have spoken with the applicant and permittees, and they've agreed to this change, to change it to the climbing wall, outdoor movie screens, televisions, and amplified sound shall cease at 10 p.m. All outdoor activities shall cease at 12 p.m. to limit potential noise issues. That is the first change. The second change is to item condition 3J, and this is to correct a mistake in the initial draft permit. Under the calculation for an excess land coverage mitigation fee, it erroneously identified the wrong hydrologic area and dollar amount for associated charge fee. It should be $20 for projects within hydrologic transfer area 1 incline instead of $850 for projects within hydrologic area 9 agate. So that change has also been identified to the applicants, and they have accepted that.
Thank you, Teresa. Any other changes or modifications that you'd like to point out?
No other changes.
Very good. Do we have someone representing the applicant on the call today?
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Strain. This is Wyatt Ogilvy of Ogilvy Consulting, in representation of the property owners, who are also, I think, with us today.
And the changes that Teresa has described are acceptable?
Yes, I think the one, I think the only, I mean, I don't think it was intentional to make the closure point in the amended language to be 12 p.m. I think that should actually transfer over to 12 a.m.
I would have recommended 12 midnight, just to be clear.
Sure, we're good with that as well. But other than that, yeah, we've read the staff report, the conditions of approval, reviewed those with the owner and project team, and we accept the findings and conditions of approval as proposed. We'd like to thank staff and Wells Burnett for their time getting us here before you today. And I guess outside of that, I'd like to reserve the right to for myself or the project team to speak to any public comment, should there be. And of course, we'd be happy to field any questions from you.
Very good. Thank you, Wyatt. At this point, I'd like to open the public hearing and ask if there's anyone in attending today who would like to make comment on this item.
Members of the public who would like to address the hearings officer may do so at this time by utilizing the hand-raising feature of the GoToWebinar app. The hand icon is located on the tab to the left of the GoToWebinar control panel. If you'd like to comment, please raise your hand and I will announce and unmute you, and you will have 3 minutes to make your comments. And no hands were raised, so we can continue with the review of this agenda item.
Thank you, Georgina. Seeing that we have no public input or comment to offer on this item, I will close the public hearing. I did want to note, too, for the benefit of those listening today, that our contracted planner has pointed out that that same change in the time that Teresa has brought forward from 10 to 12 also ends up in the special use findings that are made, the chapter 21 of the Code of Ordinances that are contained in our staff report. So I think we'll want to make the companion change to that. I don't know that it shows up anywhere else, but we'll ask the staff on our contract planner to confirm that we have captured those places, all of them.
Thank you.
Given the changes that we have made to the staff report and to the draft permit, I will approve the findings that have been presented and the rationale on which they are based, including a finding of no significant effect as proposed. And that includes the Chapter 4 findings, Chapter 21 special use findings, the Chapter 30 land coverage findings, the Chapter 37 building height findings, and approve the project as it has been presented with those changes noted previously. Thank you. That concludes item 5B. Let's move on to item 5C, the Deep Blue Water LLC single family dwelling rebuild located at 40, 24, 26, and 28 Calneva Drive, Washoe County, Nevada. The APNs are 123-041-005-018 -019 and -020. TRPA file number is ERSP2021-0232. Paul Nielsen, I believe this is your item. If you would please make some remarks.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew. This project is being brought forward today to the hearings officer because it involves the demolition of a potentially eligible historic resource. It's a residential building, single family residence built in 1934. The site is not designated as historic, but because of the characters of the building, the association with the architect, it is potentially eligible. And because of that, we treat it as though it were designated. And so in order to demolish such a building, you need to have a resource protection plan prepared by a qualified professional, which was done. And you also need to have that resource protection plan reviewed and approved by the State Office of Historic Preservation, in this case, State of Nevada. The report is attached to the material for the hearings officer, and it was reviewed and approved by SHPO. And they actually commented that the report was well done, well prepared. And that report does include a salvage plan for some of the pieces, some of the elements of the building that are hoped to be salvaged as the building is deconstructed. And also as a part of this is a recommendation regarding approval of a replacement structure, residential building on the same site, roughly the same footprint. And that represents my opening comments. I did receive one public comment, Mr. John Shaheen, who I believe is on the line today. And so I will reserve commenting on his comments until he has an opportunity to present his concerns.
Thank you, Paul. Yes, if we have a representative of the applicant here today, would like to make any remarks, please do.
Mr. Strain, Wyatt Ogilvy again, in representation of Deep Blue Water LLC. We've read the staff summary, conditions of approval, reviewed them with the owner and the project team, and accept them to form. We have several members of our team here today. If there's any questions that you have to be addressed, or if there's an appropriate rebuttal to any public comment, we'd like to reserve the right to do so.
Thank you, Wyatt. And Paul, walk us through a summary of the findings that were being requested for the demolition of the potentially historic structure itself. That's the one that's before us today, and not anything else associated with this parcel or this project. And in terms of what the code is requiring for mitigation, tell us how that's being proposed.
Yeah, so the findings are Chapter 4 findings related to threshold attainment, threshold impacts, ensuring that the project will not have an adverse effect on the thresholds. We've got Chapter 30 findings related to the relocation of verified land coverage. These are just typical findings you see with a project like this where they're relocating coverage on site. We've got Chapter 33 findings that are required to be made because we are authorizing an excavation deeper than 5 feet. The proposed excavation is 17 feet. And in order to grant that, we had to review and approve a soils hydrologic groundwater investigation, which determined no groundwater would be intercepted because of that excavation. The last set of findings are Chapter 67 findings, historic resource findings. The finding is that the historic resources shall not be demolished, disturbed, or removed unless TRPA finds that the action will not be detrimental to the historic significance of the resource. And the code does allow for the demolition of these buildings for several reasons. One is public health and safety. But they do require submission of the resource recovery plan that I mentioned earlier. And in this case, the deconstruction will be accompanied by a salvage effort that includes sort of three components. The first is that significant historic materials that will be retained for reuse for future development on site or donated. Second component is that architectural features to be donated to the museum or to be reused for rehabilitation projects or placed in an exhibit for interpretation. Three, the historic fabric to be donated or sold. And four, distribution of the non-contributing yet salvageable materials in fair to good condition. So there's several components here that will enable the applicants to work with what we believe are going to be representatives from the Thunderbird Lodge Historic Preservation Society and perhaps incorporation into the new building and future buildings on this site as they move forward in the future with additional development plans, which we do not have now, but may be brought forward in the future. So we're hoping to see several components here preserved for future use and public display.
And Paul, please talk a little bit about how the TRPA will follow and monitor the compliance with that mitigation measure of resource recovery plan recommendations.
Yeah, prior to the release of the project, security will be working with the applicant to see how the salvage went and understand where those components ended up so we can be aware of sort of the implementation of that plan.
Very good, thank you. And there was one other comment that I had reviewed previously. It's in the Chapter 67 findings at the beginning of that, of the rationale on which that finding is made. It refers to the demolition of the buildings, plural, and I believe we are simply talking about one building that is the potentially historic resource. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. The historic report looked at two buildings on site, the existing residence and the detached garage. And it was determined that the garage did not exhibit any characteristics that would make it potentially historic. So you are correct. The demolition is technically for two buildings, but only one is potentially historic.
Thank you, Paul. That helps. Good. I don't have any further questions for either our staff or the applicant. Would like to open the public hearing at this time. And Georgina will look for a show of hands for anyone who wishes to address the hearings officer on this item 5C.
Members of the public who would like to address the hearings officer may do so at this time by utilizing the hand raising feature of the GoToWebinar app. The hand icon is located on the tab to the left of the GoToWebinar control panel. If you'd like to comment, please raise your hand and I will announce and unmute you, and you will have 3 minutes to make your comments. And our first comment is going to be from John Shaheen. I'm just going to unmute John here. Okay.
Thank you very much. We've been neighbors here for 30 years. My mother and dad bought this property, and about 7 years ago, my mom passed away, and then dad passed away last November. So we're playing catch up to this. This is the first notice we've received on the project. As we've and on the notice, it says about the location of the property is 25 Calneva Drive, and 25 Calneva Drive doesn't exist. But the file numbers that you have shown us today is very helpful. We've spoken with our neighbors as well. They, the Kellys beside us have they haven't received a notice either, so that's unfortunate. But it's all our understanding that that the structure of the house or log cabin was since it was a potential historic, it wouldn't be able to be a tear down. But now that we understand that it is, we just want to make sure that it doesn't impact our view. And the other thing is the construction that's going on, it starts at 6 a.m. sometimes, and that disturbs us and our guests. And we would have it, if possible, to begin at 8 o'clock and finish at 5 on anything that would be noise. But thank you very much for allowing us to be a part of this. And we want to be a good neighbor, too, and to do our part.
Thank you, Mr. Shaheen. We appreciate your input. And I'll come back to your questions and observations as we get through the public hearing. I don't want to lose track of them. I'll ask the staff to respond. Other people here today who would like to testify? All right, hearing none, Georgina, I believe we can close the public hearing at this point.
Yes, correct. No hands were raised.
Thank you. At least two of the points I'd like the staff to respond to that Mr. Shaheen raised had to do with notice and the address itself, at number one, and number two, the timing of construction, the hours of the day. Paul, can you address those?
Yeah, once after the notice was sent out, it was clarified that the actual addresses, as Mr. Shaheen pointed out, were 24, 26, 28. And so that was corrected on the agenda. And the other issue related to, and it was also corrected on the permit, related to construction, there is a condition. It is a standard condition that's included in the permit. It is condition 12 that restricts construction between the hours of 8 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. And so I believe Mr. Sheen did not want construction to start at 6 a.m., which is not allowed by this condition. It requires construction to start no earlier than 8 a.m.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate you responding to those. And I that's a good point that was made on the address. That would presumably refer to a piece of land that might be across the street or on the other side of Calneva Drive if it was an odd number. But that's just looking at kind of the standard house and street numbering conventions that we seem to have. That was a good point. I'm glad you were able to pick that up and correct it. I'm not quite as clear on the second point. I thought I heard from Mr. Shaheen that construction now is ongoing at 6 a.m., yet this permit hasn't been issued yet. So perhaps I misheard it, or perhaps there are other activities going on that aren't covered by this permit. Is that possible? Wade, or I'm sorry, Wyatt or Paul, do you know?
Yeah, I'm happy to speak to that, Mr. Strain. The on a separate parcel that would be the most southerly parcel and presumably most proximate to the Shaheen property, there's a lake cabin down low on the site that is under a separate assessor parcel number. That project was done under a separate TRPA action outside of this hearing and has had work ongoing for approximately the past year under a separate Washoe County building permit. And I think as a result, as to my understanding, the contractor would be adhering to the Washoe County time limitations of that building permit.
Are they different, Wyatt, than the TRPAs?
Yeah, the TRPAs are actually more restrictive than Washoe County. Washoe County limits construction activity. They impose the noise standards related to construction activity, is the best way to state it, between the hours of 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. And then separately, I would like to speak to the public notice. My understanding with the addressing off by a digit, I do believe the original notice included all the assessor parcel numbers tied to the action. And at least from our review, the notice list, a notice did go to the Kelly family associated with their property tied to the post office box that is tied to the assessor records where they received their tax bill. I guess in terms of, I would like to say that I think the property owner and the general contractor want to have a good relation with the Shaheens or any neighbors. And, we discussed we'd be happy to provide a direct contact to the Shaheens for, any concerns they have, to have a, direct link to the foreman or somebody responsible on site should we have any issues outside the periods dictated by the more restrictive hours under the TRPA standard conditions of approval.
Thank you, Ian. It may help for you or someone else on your team to remind the contractor what those time hours are. There seems to be something that can be handled informally without the need to go through any type of compliance process.
Agreed. And I guess I, you know, it is notable that the general contractor for this phase of work is a different general contractor than has been performing the work to date. So, we're happy to provide that contact to Mr. Nielsen to provide the Shaheens, or if Paul can conversely give them the contact information for our office, and we'd be happy to make that connection.
Yeah, that would be helpful if you could do that as the kind of the go-between. It's a good value in your relationship. And did you mention, Wyatt, that the lake house that's on a separate parcel is under a separate TRPA permit at this point, that's sort of alive and valid?
That was primarily re-roofing, exterior siding, and interior remodel. That was done. That building was deemed not to be eligible as a potential historic resource, and it's in like-kind replacement of the, I mean, there's no expansion or modification of the structure that triggers a permit. So it was actually done under a qualified exempt declaration with TRPA, and in turn, a Washoe County building permit.
Thank you.
And then I guess, lastly, just speaking to Mr. Sheen's concern, although TRPA doesn't have ordinances that protect kind of view shed looking across another property out to the lake, whereas conversely, there are obviously the scenic standards from the lake itself, the position of the proposed residence, at least from my review of Google Earth and the location of the Shaheen building or existing residents, these residences are, I believe if I were seeing the Shaheen property looking towards the lake, they are well north of the Shaheen residence and no further kind of in plane, if you will, from distance to the shoreline. And so, in other words, if I were standing in their living room or deck, the residence you may be able to pick up, if at all, in your far deep peripheral vision.
Thank you, Wyatt.
Yeah, we're happy to field any other direct comments, but I have no other comments this time.
And Marcia, as you followed along this issue with respect to the notice, do we have concerns that we have noticed this item for consideration and action properly?
No, I believe that the, and I think it was Wyatt that mentioned that in addition to the address, there was also the APN numbers, and the address was corrected. And it sounds like the standard protocol was followed for, sending out the notices to property owners.
All right. So you're convinced that we have followed the proper noticing, even with a bit of a workaround, as it sounds?
Yes.
Very good. Thank you, Marcia.
Welcome.
Since we've already closed the public hearing on this item, I will take action on the project based on the staff's analysis, including the findings that are in the staff report that Paul has summarized, that includes Chapter 4, Chapter 30 for the relocation of coverage, Chapter 33, the grading and construction related to the excavation limits, and particularly Chapter 67, the historic resource findings. Based on the rationale on which those findings are based, including the subject conditions in the draft permit. And Paul, remind me, did we prepare a checklist and a FONSI for this?
Yes. No checklist, because it's a residential project.
Very good.
Yep.
So do we have a finding of no significant effect?
No, because it's exempt from environmental review because it's residential.
Okay, thank you. I thought that was going to be my guess. Since we don't have that in the packet, I will approve the project and the draft permit as conditioned for the historic resource and single demolition and the single family dwelling rebuild. We look forward to seeing the interpretation of the site through the different methods that are identified in the Historic Resource Recovery Plan, which absolutely was very well done. I've reviewed a number of these over the years, and this one stands out as one of the very most complete, thorough, and well organized reports that I've seen. Item 5C is approved with based on those findings and conditions. That brings us to item 6 on today's agenda, adjournment. I will adjourn the meeting of August 5th. I thank everyone for participating and for their discussion and input, and we will stand adjourned.